On a personal note, thank you all for welcoming me and my family into the community of St. Helens and to Orleans and Blackburn. This is my first chance to have a sermon with you since I'm officially here. I hope to learn from you and to be challenged by you. And I hope to care for you and maybe even to challenge you as well. So here we are again at the Feast of the Epiphany, seeing in our mind's eye the images of the wise men finally making it to the manger as they fall. Plus averting a disaster by avoiding King Herod on the way home. What a nice, tidy, simple story. And yet the Epiphany is so much more than this moment of the Magi. We think of the Epiphany story as being simple and cheerful. No? I think of those Christmas cards with the gold and the glitter, with the three kings on their camels approaching Bethlehem, bringing their gifts and their baggage with them, seeking the bright Christmas light over the manger. You might say that they were important folks coming from away to a baby shower. But are they coming to a baby shower? They're magi, people who are seeking more. People who are wise enough to want to expand their understanding of the world and also of otherworldly things. Some say that they're Zoroastrian priests or prophets or astrologers, maybe from Persia, which is roughly modern-day Iran. Regardless, they're from a different faith background. They're not Jews. They do not know the scriptures. They have questions that they need to resolve. Perhaps questions about the very nature of God. And God leads them from what they know towards what they need to know. They're following the star in Judea to see what it signifies. They're coming to experience the light that's shining there. Of course, what they're doing is in complete contrast to what King Herod the Great is doing. He has sinister motives. He's fixated on a world that is of its own construction, a world where fear and terror reign. In that ancient world, Herod was known for both being paranoid and for being brutal. He had one of his wives and several of his sons murdered because they thought they were plotting against them. And he's fearful that his world will be overthrown by this new King of the Jews, as the visitors call Jesus. He's already sort of on thin ice with his own people because, well, the Romans are his bosses, not the people of Judea. So nominally, he's the ruler over the Jewish people, but he's so entrenched in the secular world that he actually has to ask his religious advisors what the wise men were talking about. And for him, of course, a new king of the Jews doesn't seem to promise stability and control, does it? It only promises disruption to his life. So the Magi go to visit Jesus, offering gifts such as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for a king, the human side of Jesus. Frankincense for worship and prayer, the divine side of Jesus. And myrrh, used for embalming the dead, for Jesus the shepherd, who's going to die for his flock. They have seen and they've understood the nature of Jesus. This is God, who is now actually showing God's own face in the face of a child. And this is to people from afar who seek to know more about the nature and glory of God. This is knowledge that's available to all, not just to certain people. God isn't just in some far-off abstract place. but is here calling all people together, people from all countries and all continents and all backgrounds, even you and me. But back to our gospel story. Who do we see ourselves as being in this story? Do I see myself as one of the Magi, wanting to learn more about God and the world? Am I maybe bringing gifts, an offering of myself to God's own self? Maybe I'm bringing my resources, my gold to present to God, or maybe bringing my incense in worship and in prayer, or bringing my acknowledgement of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. Thankful for a new chance despite what I've done in the past? Or do I see myself as King Herod, not really wanting to see the face of God, but wanting to keep God under my control in a little box, saying that I'm one of the faithful, but not really walking that talk? A little bit further off the wall than that thought is maybe, well, you know, I'm one of the camels. Tagging along as others come to see God, perhaps even spitting in disgust on occasion. But maybe also helping them to bring their gifts and their burdens to see God. So the British poet T.S. Eliot, back in the last millennium, 100 years ago, wrote a poem, not even 100, called The Journey of the Magi. It takes the viewpoint of one of the Magi, one of the wise men. Now, some interpret that poem and even potentially our place in the entire Epiphany story as not really being about the Magi, the wise men, but they say it's about us and our journey towards God. The wise men came from a place that was not near Jesus, but they see that light that is around him, and they head towards it and towards God. So in part of that poem, the wise man describes where the traveling party has been, including places and situations they regret. They participated in activities that we won't discuss in front of the children. The wise men also say that they were distracted by cursing and grumbling and wanting their liquor. And they were also distracted by the lack of shelter. And to quote, "The city's hostile and the town's unfriendly, and the village is dirty and charging high prices." Does that sound familiar at all? And the poem says that the journey towards God was difficult for the Magi, for this person telling this story, for another reason. It says, there were voices singing in our ears, saying that this was all folly. Another part of the poem is even more bittersweet. The travelers arrived at the place where they were going, and it was okay, but not quite what they expected. It says, were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. So they've experienced God and Jesus. But they realize that Jesus' birth also requires a death. Jesus will die and be resurrected for us. But Jesus' birth, his manifestation in the world, God's self-revelation to us, calls for another death that's a difficult one. It calls for our death to our old life. It calls for our death to those places and things with which we are comfortable. It calls for a death to our old ways. In her sermon last week, Rhonda spoke a little bit about that. And she spoke about kenosis, self-emptying. The experience of Jesus calls for us to change, even when we go back to our daily lives, even just as we leave this service. But after experiencing even this little bit of the journey, we're no longer in the place we were before. And that's always been the story of our voyage towards God, towards the light, wherever we come from, whatever our background, whatever the time. It's not very comfortable. And the poem's final line is positive, but it doesn't seem like that at first reading. It's because it's about our old life. It says this: I should be glad of another death. Amen.